My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like this morning to speak about miracles. We have in today's gospel, St. John the Baptist in prison. Remember, he had been imprisoned by Herod because he publicly denounced Herod for the scandal of his adultery. And John the Baptist had disciples, disciples who gathered around him because they recognized his holiness. He lived a very austere life. He was clearly a very holy man, and he preached repentance and amendment of life. So disciples gathered about John the Baptist, and he wanted them to follow our Lord. He had said of our Lord, "He must increase and I must decrease." But he didn't want to come out and tell his disciples, "Jesus is the Messiah, you should follow him." So he sent two of them to our Lord to ask him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Now again, John in his own mind had no doubt of our Lord's divinity and that he was the promised Messiah. Remember when he baptized our Lord, the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove descended upon our Lord, and he heard the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He also pointed out Jesus to his disciples, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sin of the world." And two of his disciples, Andrew and John, followed our Lord and became our Lord's two first disciples. But there were other disciples of John that were very loyally attached to him. And it was for them that he wanted to send to our Lord in order to draw them to have them follow our Lord instead of him. Well, so these two disciples came to our Lord and they asked that question. They said, "John sent us to ask you, art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Now, our Lord must have just been in the process of curing many people because he said, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and what you have heard. The deaf hear, the dumb speak, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the poor have the gospel preached to them," etc. So again, they must have witnessed various miracles. Now, our Lord worked numerous miracles, literally thousands upon thousands of miracles. We read in many places in Scripture that the people brought all of those who were sick to our Lord, and as many as were brought to him, he cured. Here's just one example. This is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 15. "And when Jesus had departed from there, he went along the Sea of Galilee, and he went up the mountain and sat there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the dumb, the blind, the lame, the maimed, and many others. And they set them down at his feet, and he cured them. So that the crowds marveled to see the dumb speak, the lame walk, and the blind see. And they glorified the God of Israel." So again, our Lord performed numerous miracles. There had been, in the Old Testament, prophets, many of whom were very holy and performed miracles. The greatest, insofar as performing miracles, were Elias and his disciple Eliseus. And we read that these two prophets performed many miracles. But never, ever had there been someone that performed the miracles as our Lord did. He even raised people from the dead. And again, his miracles were numerous. So he truly was the promised Messiah. And there are two things by which we can identify our Lord as the promised Messiah. One is the fulfilling of prophecy. And there were prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed out where he was going to be born. The town Bethlehem is named by one of the prophets. How he would live, how he would die, when he would come. All of these different prophecies were fulfilled to the letter. But in addition to prophecy, there are the miracles of our Lord. Now, what is a miracle exactly? We'd say a miracle is a cure or an astonishing prodigy that cannot be explained by the laws of nature, by the laws of science or medicine. An instantaneous cure that cannot in any way be accounted for by the laws of medicine. And, of course, not only did our Lord work numerous miracles, but his church. The truth of his church is testified to by the miracles that have been granted, have been worked down through the centuries. You can read the lives of the saints, and you find so many miracles that were worked that testified to the holiness of their lives and testified to the truth of the Catholic religion. And even down to our own times, in the last couple hundred years, there have been many, many miracles. I would especially point to Lourdes. Our Lady appeared to Bernadette in 1858. And shortly after Our Lady's apparitions at Lourdes, people began to be cured by the miraculous water that sprang up from the ground. And there were so many miracles granted at Lourdes that the church had to set up a board of inquiry to testify which ones were true miracles. And there were dozens, there were hundreds. And that carried on into the first half of the 20th century as well. Also, of course, there is the great miracle of the sun worked at Fatima. And another miracle pertaining to Our Lady would be the continuing miracle of her image on the tilma, the cloak of Juan Diego in Mexico. And that was in 1535 or thereabouts. So nearly 500 years ago. And that tilma, which should have disintegrated, is not only in existence, but that miraculous image of Our Lady is still impressed on that garment. So again, many miracles testifying to the truth of the Catholic religion. Now, I mention this because recently there have been circulating on the internet, you know, these chat rooms and things like that, a challenge, you might say, you traditional Catholics, you don't have miracles. So you don't have the true faith. You're wrong insofar as rejecting Vatican II and the new Mass and so forth, because if you were right, you would have miracles. Well, I would answer that with a couple of things. First of all, there have been miracles, numerous miracles. I have witnessed them, but they're not the external miracles that one might expect, but they are miracles of grace, conversions. Conversions of individuals who maybe were atheists, and by the grace of God, they converted, they sought the truth, they prayed to find the truth, and they found the Catholic religion. They became Catholics, but then they realized there was something contradictory, and that the new Mass did not convey the majesty of the worship of God, and they searched and they found the Latin Mass. And they found one of our churches. And it's amazing when I hear these stories, when I meet these people, that step after step, and they keep praying, and God guides them to the truth. So I have met many like that. Now, on the other hand, there is a claim at least, that there have been miracles, Eucharistic miracles, in the Novus Ordo Church. That at the new Mass, that there supposedly have been miracles. I don't believe it. I don't believe that they are true miracles. Now, we just had, 2 Sundays ago, a gospel from St. Matthew chapter 24 regarding the end of the world. And let me read a short section of that. If anyone say to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. And remember, St. Paul said, even if an angel from heaven should preach a gospel different than what I'm preaching, let him be anathema, reject him. It wouldn't be a true apparition. It wouldn't be a true angel. And so the same thing here. Outside the Catholic religion, there cannot be true miracles. Now, the devil has a lot of power. He, after all, is an angel, a bad angel. And so there could be the semblance of miracles. It reminds me of what happens in the Protestant churches, and they'll have these revivals, and people come up, and the minister, whoever, lays hands on them, and people fall over. They call it being slain in the spirit. And they think that they're cured. They feel better because they're so emotionally built up that they feel better and think they're cured. But then a couple days later, they realized all their aches and pains are still there. It wasn't a cure. It was an emotional state at the time. There was a church in Spokane Valley that used to have the name of the church as the Miracle Center. Well, people sued the church because they went there thinking they'd be cured, and they weren't. So they sued the church, and it was forced to change its name to something else. Because again, there will not be true miracles outside the Catholic religion. But as our Lord said, there will be false Christs and false prophets, and they will work great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. No, you read the lives of the saints, you read the history of the Catholic Church, and there you find true miracles. Instantaneous, inexplicable, not signs worked by the power of the devil, but true miracles. And so this gospel for today reminds us of that. What a gratitude we should have that we are members of Christ's church, that we have found the true church, if, in fact, we had to search and were not born into the faith. And be wary of the deceits of the devil. So let us, as we prepare for our Lord's birth, rejoice in the graces that have been given to us and persevere in living our faith despite the fact that we live in an age which is not the time for miracles. They have been granted down through the history. Now is a time for faith, to live by faith. And that faith will be tested, and it will continue to be tested. But by the grace of God and praying for this intention, we will persevere until our dying breath in Christ's one true church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.